Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, you guys. What's up, AfterBuzzers? Welcome back. Season 3, Episode 2, The Shy After Show. I'm your host, Erica Edwards, but I couldn't do it without the crew, so give it up for the original OG of The Shy After Show, Lauren Hubbard. Give it up.
Hi, guys.
Hey. And give it up to the amazing Pretty in Pink, Kitty Kaboom.
What's up, everybody? It's so good to be back. I'm not an OG, huh? I didn't come on until the second season. I'm like, wait, I want to be an OG. I want to be here from the gangster from the beginning.
Well, my dear, next week, you too will be an OG.
Okay.
Now that you're back, girl, you an OG.
Amen.
All right, you guys. So welcome back. Welcome back, everyone. Shout out to everybody in the chat. Get it pumping. Let's get it started. So let's take it as we always do. Overall, what did you guys feel about this episode? And let's start it with Kitty, since we haven't heard from you all season, guys.
All season. It's the second show. Sheesh. I know. I'm so sorry I couldn't make the first one. Honestly, I was really mad once I watched it, and I was like, no.
No worries, Chica.
My overall thoughts are what I shared with Lauren before we got started, which is, to me, it is very obvious that they have new writers. I know how much we were both frustrated with the storyline of the older gentleman. Oh, why can't I remember his name?
Ronnie.
Thank you, Ronnie. And how Ronnie was in jail, and then he was this, and he was that, and all this stuff. And it was just like drawing out. I was like, they don't have anything else to focus on. So in my opinion, I could be wrong, I haven't done the research, but it appears that they have new writers because the storylines are way more quick. There's a lot more turnover. I love the banter back and forth. And just the fact that at the very first season, it was like, oh, wait, what? I didn't see that coming at all. So that was pretty dope. I'm all in, no question. I've always loved the show, but I feel like this season is going to be a little bit better in terms of whodunits and what just happened and, you know, a lot of zingers. I'm looking forward to it.
Cool. Lauren, what are your thoughts overall?
My overall thoughts? I enjoyed it. It was a little slow, but we did get to kind of see some new dynamics with Trigg and kind of get to learn about him a little bit more. So overall, I was pleased. It was just a little slow.
Yeah, I actually liked this episode, although I do feel like the whole Keisha being missing thing took a minute or a little bit too long for me, because I'm like, I get it that she's a teenager and maybe she's used to doing her own thing or whatever, but it seemed like in the past, her mother had a tighter rein on her where it would be like, okay, how she's been gone for like 3-4 days and they just now like, okay, she hadn't texted me back. So that was sort of an interesting kind of slow burn to really kicking it off to the real search for Keisha. So right. I found that kind of a little frustrating for me. But yeah, and shout out Eric V in the chat says, I'm all in too. That JC scene with his brothers was amazing. And shout out to the actor that plays Jake. I really feel like Jake is stepping up to the plate.
Yes.
And kind of really developing his character. So I love to see that. Let's start out with something fun. Let's start out with Emmett's storyline. And Emmett, and we finally get to see, we all knew that Lala Anthony was joining the cast. So we finally get to see Lala as Dominique.
Yeah.
So, Lauren, what are your thoughts about Emmett and his new chef opportunity?
Yes, I thought it was hilarious.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's that he actually ordered takeout from all those different restaurants for the baby shower. I mean, hey, if you can't cook, might as well order. So I thought it was kind of a pretty good idea. However, when he did get to meet Dominique, Lala's character, I was like, okay, there's a little flirting going on here. It was cute. It was innocent. But I don't know if Lala can cook in real life or not, but that food really did look amazing. Not going to lie. So I will say, if he really is going to use that chicken restaurant that he used to work at, you know, to cook his meals after hours, that's a little shady, in my opinion, just because he should probably let the owner know what he's doing.
True, true. All right, Kitty, what are your thoughts about Emmett?
Just piggybacking off of that last statement, it's not a little shady. It is full blown all the way shady. You can't use somebody's facilities, and not only does he not tell him, you need to ask him. You don't pay no rent here. You don't get to just come in. So, but that's Emmett's way, isn't it? It's kind of like, look, I gotta do what I gotta do to make it work, put this together, glue that, put this on top, try to hold it. That's always been Emmett's way. It's like, once he finally decided to like become the best version of himself and stop being lazy in his mama bed and just getting a whole bunch of girls pregnant, ever since he decided that, it's almost like he will, on a wing and a prayer, make something come together. And I respect that that's his gangster, that he's able to finally get in what it takes to be not only a present father, but a successful one, you know, to kind of show his kids what it takes to be successful. And so, yeah, it's hella shady and he's dead ass wrong. But at the same time, I love it because it just shows his ingenious or whatever. It shows that he's willing to do what he has to do to make things come together. So I really.
His hustle.
His hustle. Exactly. His grind, his hustle, whatever you want to call it. And the fact that Lala showed up, are you kidding me? I'm the biggest Lala fan. I love her. I don't know that she's like, I mean, you know, she ain't like Emmy. I won't say that. She might give us an amazing performance. I won't say that. I won't knock her up.
I already know what you're going to say.
I love her like as a human being. You know what I mean? I don't know what kind of actress she's going to aspire to be. Let me just say that, because it didn't sound very happy the other way. But I do just love seeing her on screen, and she just oozes sex appeal. So I get the impression that there's like a little sexual tension there, but prayerfully he's staying focused. I mean, you live with this woman now, bruh, and she's a good woman. Like, please,
right,
step out on her, please. We don't need those problems.
But that, like, is true. That is true. Well, a couple things. One is, I was thinking that we don't know, because didn't the original owner of the restaurant have like a heart attack or something? So I don't know if we know for sure whether or not. Well, you guys, welcome Chef Beans.
Hi, Beans. You're sideways, babe.
How? What the fuck is wrong
with this? There we go. Oh, no. There we go.
That was Caroline.
All right. Well, give it up for Chef Beans. Thank you so much for joining us. And we're just getting it popping. We're talking about Emmett and his sort of interaction with Dominique. So, one thing I want to say is I'm not for sure that he does or does not have authority to use it in the evening. There certainly are pop-up restaurants at night that use other people's facilities. And I thought that the daughter wanted him to be a manager when the original owner got sick or whatever. So I don't know if he has the authority or not. So I'm not going to put that out there that he doesn't. Secondly, as far as their interaction, she asked him to show her the D. So I can
Off the break.
Off the top. That's the only way you're going to pull it. And he pulled his pants down.
He sure did.
I kind of feel like for her to even come at him like that was buck wild and crazy, especially outside. So I think already we kind of know where their relationship is going.
Don't say that. No.
Those are my thoughts. But Chef Beans, where are you on Emmett and Dominique? That's what we're starting off with tonight.
I'm happy at Emmett's approach, like kind of to business, because we understand that Brandon is no longer here. So now Emmett is kind of forced to figure out this whole culinary world on himself. And we see that he has no problem with adapting. I'm just praying that he finds some type of control over his pants. You get what I'm saying? Because that can be a big hindrance in his growth. If he can't control his whole sexuality and everything like that when it comes to just always trying to smash everything that stares at you for 5 seconds too long, it's not going to work out in his favor. So that I'm just hoping he gets it together.
I agree. And shout out to E. Starkey in our chat. And Original24 says, Lala dissing Brandon was unnecessary. And here's my question to you guys about that. I felt like Lala's point, because sometimes I feel, even though these may be new writers, they not that, you know, they new, but they still in line with some of the other issues that they had last season. And so I feel like we don't really know what happened to Brandon. Right? We know he's dead, but we don't know under what circumstance. So I feel like either, you know, Lena's still mad or whatever, because it did kind of be like, he ain't shit. Just like, what? Okay, tell us more. But what did you guys think about Lala's dissing Brandon? Sort of, they kind of made it on the low, but I feel like it was too distinctive of a line. What do you think about that, Kitty?
I honestly, I don't know if I should admit this on camera. Father, forgive me. Here's the thing. I think that we as humans, our inclination, if you have a heart, is that you should not speak ill of the dead, even if in real life, while they were still here, they weren't the best person in the world. But I took issue with that. Like when my personal grandma passed away, everybody kept acting like she was just the most amazing woman. And that was not my experience. And I was a child at the time. So I didn't even have like the wherewithal to put a filter on it and be like, don't say anything, mind your business, stay a child. I was like, why does everybody keep acting like grandma was dope? Like she was horrible. She was mean to me. She was mean to you. Like, so I don't think that simply because these people have left the earth that we should give this angelic view of who they were. You ain't got to badmouth them necessarily, but the truth is the truth is the truth. So I wasn't mad at Lala being like, that nigga wasn't nothing. Like, he kind of wasn't, you know what I mean? So to be able to say that, I think we should be able to voice who people are and be genuine about our opinions. Again, you don't have to like, you know, I hope his mama know that he was, like, you know, you don't have to take it to the bridge. But if you did not like him, don't lie to kick it simply because he's no longer here.
I agree with that. However, I don't recall anything in these first two seasons really where anybody would say he ain't shit. So that's why I was like, where are the writers going with this? But Lauren, what are your thoughts?
I agree with you, Erica. I had to think back on the season, like, what did he do that was so horrible? Because everything that he was doing, he was trying to make himself a better person and look out for, you know, Kev and his friends. So I think, I don't think they should have necessarily put that in there because Lala didn't know Brandon, or Dominique, I should say, did not know Brandon. So I don't think she should have spoke on his character. I do agree with you, Kitty. If someone was not the greatest, we shouldn't make them to be some great person. I just think they could have left them out. So I agree with, I'm kind of on the same page with you, Erica. Where are the writers going with them? Do they still have some animosity to this situation?
I agree. And to be honest and to be fair, we don't know yet how Dominique, what her basis was for saying that, right? So we don't, to me, I feel like, is it alluding to why he was killed by the streets or was he a snitch? We don't know why he was killed in all honesty. And we don't know why she thinks he wasn't shit. But I feel like they put it in there hopefully for a purpose, not just randomness. But Chef Beans, what are your thoughts?
I'm in the same headspace as what Lauren was talking about. thinking about Brandon in season one to season two, it seemed like most of the things he was doing was somewhat honorable. Not saying he should get a key to the city, but we see that he was just a young black man transitioning. So it is still pretty ambiguous on as far as his demise, but I don't know. They might still have some animosity in that writer's.
I agree. Now, Eric V in our chat is saying she could be talking about his cooking skills. Oh, no, Eric. Brandon was the chef. I must beg to differ with you on that one. But she could have, you know, she could have been talking about how great she is compared to Brandon. So we will see. So speaking of Emmett, in this scene, we'll keep it light and fun for a moment before we get a little darker. We do get to see Jada finally get her freak on. Woo-hoo!
Yes, that was so awesome!
Yes,
that scene was everything.
Got some cheeks clapped real quick.
Yes, I loved it.
Shout out for the Instagram freaking masseuse. So yes. I like that storyline. All right, Lauren, let's start off with you. How did you feel about Jada getting a freaky massage, girl? Which seems to actually, like, I've gotten so many DMs about these black freaky masseuses out there just getting it in. So that was interesting to see it on film. What were your thoughts, Lauren?
Yes, I agree. That was very interesting to see on film. You know, honestly, I was happy for her because the first two seasons, it was all about her relationship as a mother with Emmett and, you know, trying to get him to go on the right path. So I was finally happy to see her put herself first. And she might have did it in an unconventional way, but she was definitely enjoying herself. So I was all for it. And
yes.
She was, you know, I was like, okay, I was a little hot.
Very hot and heavy. It was fun to see her. And it was interesting. Kitty, what are your thoughts? Because I guess being from Chicago, I know how there's a lot of different people in Chicago, but it's also very segregated. So I found it very interesting that her speed dating that she went to was very diverse. So, you know, maybe they was out in Hyde Park or something.
But, it must have been in Hyde Park. Yeah, that was
are they on the north side? This is an interesting little community of people.
Right.
But, so how did you feel about her speed dating and her getting her freak on, all of that, Kitty?
Well, I think it's a long time coming. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, she did date Ronnie, who was anything but good. Like, that was a bust, obviously. And then she had the nerve to dip back in with the ex, with the baby mama.
Right, exactly.
That was a bust. She deserves not only just love, clearly she's not going to find love in this boy, he's a child, but he made her feel good in that moment. And sometimes that's just what we need as human beings, but especially as women. We need to feel valued. We need to feel like, you know, somebody is kind of rooting for us, that we're still attractive, that we still are capable and all the rest of that. So I loved all of that. The speed dating too, I agree. It's not, that couldn't have been in the hood. First of all, the white lady, remember, she was the one that was announcing it. And was.
I know, I was like, really? What side of town did you take your speed dating to? That's exactly what I thought. I was like, oh goodness. But
I mean, I never lived in Chicago, but I dated this guy there. So I was out there back and forth all the time. And I mean, I think you're right. It probably was just in like an upper echelon part of town. Maybe it's over there. I don't know what it's called, but over there by your downtown library. I live for that library with the big gargoyles and all that.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of considered a nice part of town, right? Like maybe it was in that area, whatever. But I did think it was kind of cute that there was such a diverse group as well. I enjoyed that. And I love that they pointed out, look, all you got to do is like relax. You know what I mean? You're trying too hard and whatever. You know what I did take issue with though? And maybe y'all can bring some clarity to this. What's with her son's baby mother, girlfriend, whatever, having the car to the massage therapist? I was like, okay, I'm not mad
now
that you have it,
that
but.
Is interesting. And somebody in, shout out to Original24 in the chat, they said Tiffany probably got a happy ending massage too. Because
how else would she know? How else would you know?
How else would she know? Exactly. Exactly.
Now, and she had the card very handy too.
It right, it was just right there. Exactly. That concerned me. I was like, is she dipping on him, or is she just like has this in her back pocket in case he screw up? She know where to go to get her thing off.
Exactly. Now, Chef B.
Look at B.
Here's my question for you. How you feel about Emmett and old boy, the masseuse, going to school together? What are you about? You know, do you want your mama to get her freak on, or do you not need to know the person?
Well, I think the thing is, which I guess now that I'm in, like I'm a young man, but I'm a man at the same time, is that people have their needs, regardless right. if you're a parent or not. People have their needs, so regardless, I'm not even going to think about that. But in Emmett's situation. That's my mom's business. Now, of course, I would feel some type of way if it was one of my peers, just naturally, because it's like, I know this guy. But if I could have the option of not knowing that interaction happened, I would just leave it where it's at, because it's none of my business.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? It's literally none of my business. And just thinking about Emma's mother and what she's been through season 1, season 2 with the garbage, does that mean just because it's my mother, she's not supposed to, you know, get those cobwebs knocked down? No, like, you handle your business as long as you're being safe. You feel me? Like, it's literally none of my business. But like I said, the only thing that would bother me is if that's my peer and I found that, like, I would be, you know, pissed off. But mom got to get hers too, right?
That's right.
Yes, she does. Indeed. And I feel like Emmett does make too much. Like, he almost don't want to see her with anybody, which is like, okay, you know.
He's not her husband. He's not her husband. He's not the father of her children. He has to grow up in that regard, understanding that his mother is a grown-ass woman.
I agree.
So don't you love it how he was trying to put it down, too? He was like, I'm serious, Mom. Boy, you can be serious all you like. As a mother of a grown person, I thought my son would be like, Mom, you know, I don't appreciate it. Okay, that's great. I don't really care what you think, but run along now and mind your business. Like you said, I would never, like, I don't see why she would even, she paid him dust, so it's fine. But I just thought that was funny that he was like, I'm putting my foot down. You're putting your what?
I know, hilarious.
Right.
So crazy. All right, you guys, let's move on to talking about the development of Keisha sort of being missing and her mother and the police and all of this. Now, first of all, one thing that we did not discuss last week is like whatever happened to the cops. I guess they're not coming back. We don't see the police no more or whatever. So that's interesting. We had several seasons where we saw cop storylines, which have magically vaporized. And now, you know, Keisha's missing. It wouldn't hurt to see a cop that we actually are familiar with. But
there's a reason for that.
Is there now?
Stay tuned for news and gossip.
Okay. Well, thank you. Well, starting off with that then, Lauren, let's start off with you. How did you feel about sort of this whole sort of dual investigation between Kevin trying to find his sister and the mother going to the police and Dre out there in the streets? Like, everybody sort of on their own sort of segregated mission locating Keisha. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I thought it was very crazy because, Kevin, I get it. You don't want to throw your sister under the bus. You know, we had kind of a flashback scene to where he got her in trouble because of the birth control. So I get it. He doesn't want to get his sister in any more trouble. But if she's been gone for 3 days, come on now. You need to tell your parents what's up. So if he didn't want to tell his mother, I feel like he definitely should have told Dre. Because Dre seems to be a little more tech savvy and could, you know, get into her iPhone and find her exact location. So I feel like at least them two could have worked together. So I was just like, why are you guys doing this? However, I did think Kevin was, he surprised me, honestly, when he went to the drug dealer's house and was like, you think that gun is going to scare me? I was like, okay, you really are growing up. They're growing up and
guilt. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he does feel a little guilty as well, but I love that even though he's young and he's like this big, he's willing to stand up for his sister and go all the way and try and fight for her. And one last thing, I think it was terrible that the cop, the one cop that did show up, was saying, oh, that's just girls. You know, I thought the same about my daughter. Okay, we don't have the same daughter. If I tell you my daughter's been missing for 3 days, file a missing persons report and go find her. I agree. Although I do feel like it took her too long. And I said this earlier in the intro or when we first started. To me, you know, she didn't sleep at home. How many nights now? And she's not returning your test. It took a minute, I feel like, before the mother got all the way there. And I was a little bit surprised by that. But Chef, what are your thoughts, Chef?
I think even based off how the last episode ended, initially I just thought like maybe she was abducted, because we know in 2020, and I see what the writers are trying to do as far as introduce different conversations of the possibility of the things that could happen. But I feel like Kev is stepping into himself. Like he's being a lot more bold. We see the new haircut, the conversations that him and his friends are having. They're trying to show like, look, this dude is older, but yeah, the mother could have been a lot more on it. I don't care how grown Keisha acts. Right. I know as soon as my daughter's like, not, yo, like, where's it at? Like, I'm not going to wait for that. So it's very tricky. It's very tricky. I don't know. I feel like things are happening. Like, there's a lot of storylines. I don't know which one to grasp onto, like, first. It's kind of like I'm getting piece by piece with these different storylines.
I agree. Now, one of the things that was interesting, I thought, was how they showed Dre kind of out there, like your husband, I guess, would be searching for your child. And we see Dre go down to like the homeless strip or whatever. And she kind of gets into it with Ronnie and the other people. And Kitty, what were your thoughts about how Dre is sort of like, we're now finally seeing more of Nina and Dre's relationship, you know, and we're seeing Dre kind of stepping into that father figure role and really going out there for the hunt for Keisha. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so I'm not a member of the LGBTQ community, but I feel like if we had a member in our panel, they might be a little taken aback by the assumption that we're making that there are gender roles, right? Like by saying that Dre is the man or took on the man's role. Like I think any one of them could have done that if they so chose. That isn't necessarily the role of a man. I mean, anybody that decides that it's important enough to them to seek something out could have done it. But I get where you're going with it. I'm not trying to like give you shit about it, Erica. I'm just saying that oftentimes, you know, in that community, they're like, gender roles are archaic and they kind of go against what it is that we're trying to develop in terms of camaraderie and inclusion and all the rest of that. So with that being said, I like that Dre has stepped up. I like that there's more of a tangible storyline when it comes to her and what she all brings to the table. I love that she gave them both those necklaces. That I thought was so heartfelt. And then she waited until the actual ceremony so it meant something so everyone there could be a part of that exchange. I just thought that was so beautiful and really, really very classy. And I'm glad that she's decided and how about Ronnie was like, she's looking for her daughter. So not once did he say like, she's looking for this girl or whatever. So it's understood that this is now her daughter because she's married into this family. She's taking on that role. I feel like she wanted to do that a long time ago, but you already know, like the kids weren't really feeling that.
Right.
And so now that it's official, it's almost like, yeah, this is who I wanted to be from Jump Street, but there was just so much pushback that I didn't feel comfortable assuming this role. But now we's married now. I'm here.
You know what I mean? Very true. Very true. I agree. Now, Lauren, we see Dre, and also we sort of see these side stories with Ronnie. Because to me, I feel like Ronnie is still yet wandering around throughout scenes and not clear what's going on, but maybe he'll get falsely arrested. I don't know. But so we see this scene between Ronnie and Dre with the homeless people. One, Ronnie is like king of the homeless, I guess. So he's made a lot of friends. And but we see that even though he went to bat and kind of went in there and got the phone, clearly he didn't have the phone. There was still sort of, to me, Dre still kind of got a little rah-rah with him because she knew who he was.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about him still being judged by that, Lauren? Even though he's trying to help, trying to do whatever. What do you think?
Ooh, you know, I kind of felt bad for him too, because she didn't really accuse him, but she said, if I find out
you had anything to do with this, when clearly he just helped you get the phone. Like, I feel, in a way, I feel bad for him, but at the same time, he did murder a child. So right. I understand why people can't just let it go. And at one point, he really was trying to change himself, and people still judged him. So I guess it's just kind of like, well, you know what? You guys judge me no matter what I do. So I'm just going to be homeless, drink, and live my life, and y'all are going to treat me however you want. I really hope, though, by the end of the season, people will start treating him a little differently, just because I'm so tired of seeing him get kicked when he's down. I just want him to win for once.
All right, Chef Beans, what are your thoughts?
I understand where Dre was coming from. Like Lauren said, it's kind of hard to etch and sketch that from your memory, no matter what. And we know how sometimes people go into different situations, pre-consuming or everything like that. He's a drunk, homeless murderer. So regardless if you're trying to give me this phone or not, there could be some preconceived. You could be playing mind games on me. You could have whatever, you know, connotations that you have in your mind. So I'm not mad at Dre's approach. I appreciate what she's trying to do as well, as far as trying to step up as your mom's new wife. Like I'm here. I got the cape on. Just let me know what I need to do. But at the same time, I feel like we're going to have to wait and see how her relationship with the kids still develop. But we see she's trying to do everything she can to get Keisha back.
I agree. And I will say this, what I found interesting, I think, about this season is that I think it is bringing some LGBTQ issues to the forefront. And even though Kitty and I may not agree, I do feel like they are portraying Dre in an extremely masculine sort of way to me. Anyway, when I watch it, the same way we now reflect on Trig and Amani's relationship.
That's a transition. So, let me give you an air pound. That was a good transition.
Thank you. Because, you know, we kind of reflected on this last time, and I felt last week, I was like, okay, this seems like a transgender actress, and how are
you
they going to play
that?
This? Yeah.
I did, and so not, then, I did not see trans until they left that bar, and she said, if you can't love me and hate them. And I was like, whoa, wait, what just, huh?
I saw trans last week. I was Googling her all day. Yeah. Like, I know she's trans from last week for sure. But here's my question to you guys. So yeah, so now we see this scene, and that was my question last week. Are they gonna really show him as dating someone trans? Which they do. So I did find it an interesting idea, and especially within the Black community.
I love it.
What did you guys think about, let's start off with Chef Beans.
Okay.
Let's take it from you, babe. So what did you think about the straight guy, sort of him getting all rah-rah in the gay, like you in a gay club, so you need to bring it down a little bit, I thought. But what were your thoughts about the whole Trig almost fighting at the gay club?
So, and with that specific scene, like we said, we all were knowing that it was a gay club. So if you're going to have the same boldness to go in there with this person who you have a relationship with or love, you got to kind of not necessarily take whatever comes with that. Like, I'm not saying he should be okay with being harassed or whatever, but understand your environment. And if you're going to be easily triggered about someone flirting with you, you shouldn't even have been in that environment. That's how I took it. Right. I feel like it's very similar to, I'm not to kind of get off topic, but even in like another Lena show, which is like Boomerang, which they have a guy in that same community, this overly masculine character that you're trying to portray, you have to pick a side. Like you can't try to be super hetero and combat that community, but then you're still one foot in. It's like just pick a side. But like I said, he wasn't fully accepting of the environment that he's in, and maybe he was confused. Maybe he's still in between as far as like where he stands.
Right, I agree. And I think it's interesting that they're giving us this whole like Malik Yoba storyline. So one,
the shade. Okay,
I'm just
you
saying,
got that,
it's very interesting where the same thing, where this person is attracted to transgender, but goes through the issue of saying, I'm not gay. So, Lauren, what are your thoughts about how Trig is dealing with his sexuality and his relationship?
You know, I thought it was actually extremely interesting that Luke James played this role where he is dating a transgender, because he was one of the lead roles in Star and his father was dating a transgender. So I was like, wow, this is amazing. But that being said, I think, yeah, he may struggle with his sexual identity, or he needs to take a little bit more time to learn everything. I don't even say everything because it changes every day, but maybe he needs to learn more about transgenders and what sexuality is for his partner, because for everyone, it is different. I agree though, you gotta be aware of your surroundings. If you know you are in a gay club, how are you really gonna get mad if you're standing there and someone wants to hit on you? I just felt like he let out his aggression on the wrong person.
I agree. So now before we get out of here and before we wrap it up for this episode, let's talk a little bit about Trigg and Jake. And they're finally reuniting and Jake sort of living with Duda, but seemingly scared to death. So Kitty, what are your feelings about Trigg and about the interaction that he had with Jake?
Well, first of all, shout out to Luke James with his fine ass for showing up on the show, because he is he is so delicious to look at. I know he's a child to me, but he's still delicious. Sorry. Okay, so that's that. And yeah, I like the role that he's playing. He surprised me at being a pretty good actor. He got some acting chops in there. I love the dynamic of the two of them, because again, maybe I'm just, I promise it did not, I did think she was like a little skinny, but that's it. I did not think that she was trans. So good to know. Moving forward, I do like their dynamic, because it's obvious that he genuinely loves this person and wants a future with them. And I love the fact that he showed up and got right in Duda's face, like, just so we're clear, bruh. Like, this is what's about to happen. I'm back now. I don't know what you heard. I was dead. I'm alive. Whatever. It doesn't matter. I'm in your face right now. You see what it is. Matter of fact, I just killed this man to show you really what it is. And, you know, I need my brother back. Like, I'm not going to play this game with you. And let's be clear. Duda doesn't want that baby. Duda is holding on to that boy because he knows that he can use him somehow in a game of chess. I don't know what player he thinks that he would be, but he clearly did not take him into the house for any other reason than some master plan that he has 2-3 steps ahead of. He didn't, like, out of the kindness of his heart. He doesn't have a kind heart. So it just makes sense that we know that he pulled him in there for some. We don't know what that reasoning is, but I'm looking forward to seeing him go down, and I'm looking forward to homeboy getting his brother back.
Exactly. All right, you guys. Well, thank you so much. That's wrapping episode 2, the Brew Fund, or Brew Fund. All right, so let's move on, you guys. Before we get out of here, we still have our special segment, news and predictions. So we're going to do our special segment of the evening right now, which is Chi-Town Highlights. All right, so tonight, this was my, you know, my suggestion, or I should say I took it this night. Tonight we're gonna highlight the Chicago Strangler. Now, not saying that this is what happened to Keisha, hopefully not, but for those of you who are not aware, basically the city of Chicago might have another serial killer on the loose. This tale starts back in like 2001. Since then, they have found over 51 unsolved murders. And all of these women have been between the ages of 18 to 58. They're African American. They're known to either be sex workers or on drugs or crackheads or whatever. And this has happened primarily on the city's south side and on the city's west side near Washington Park, Garfield Park.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, ESPN of TV Talk.
Now, basically, what has happened is, basically, there's this association in Virginia called the Murder Accountability Project, and they told CBS Chicago, as well as the Chicago PD, that they have sort of a computer where they run all the how all the crimes were committed and how they're, you know, how they are like they are. and they have an algorithm that says, okay, there might be a serial killer active in this area. So right now, currently, there is believed to be at least one, if not two, serial killers out there in Chicago getting the women. So ladies, be safe.
So they created an algorithm based on the information. They just kind of put it in to the computer and then they create,
Yeah, this is a national, like, sort of nonprofit organization. Gotcha. And so they choose murders in different areas and kind of go to that area and either let the local police and or news know that we believe, based on all these characteristics of all these murders in this area, that there might be someone out here actually killing people. And I think the issue is that these victims have been people like prostitutes, basically people living high risk lifestyles, like runaways, et cetera. And so kind of due to the gun violence and gang violence, no one was really paying attention except for the family members. But as of 2018, they've started to get a task force together to kind of look into the Chicago Strangler, is the name that he's been given. All right, you guys, before we get out of here, let's listen to Lauren's news and gossip.
Hey guys. Okay, so Lena Waithe went on the Late Late Show and spoke a little bit about season three. And Lena said that season three will be the gayest season ever. So in that, you know, she obviously talked about Dre being a character, and she didn't say it directly, but I'm thinking Dre is kind of maybe a slight representation of Lena in a way. Also, she talked about Jasmine's character, who is transgender, and they said, and Lena said that with everything going on in the world today, she definitely wanted to add LGBTQ people inside of the show. And they said they're not going to point too much fingers on the fact that the character is trans, but they wanted to make it known to the audience. And also with the, we mentioned earlier how there's no cops in this show. There's no detectives, no cops that we know of. That is because Lena did not want any cops on her show because of all of the police brutality and all the protests and all the marches going on. She's kind of fed up with the cops, so she wanted no cops in there. So we won't really be seeing a strong storyline with them at all. And then moving on, Yolanda Ross talks about the new development of character, saying that Jada is evolving and learning as a woman, and she's putting being a mother on the back burner and focusing on herself. And last but not least, Jacob Lattimore has a new music video premiering tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern time, and it's called Live What You Say. So you can check out his IG Live, and I'm sure he'll be airing it on there.
All right, you guys, before we get out of here, everybody, let's do rapid fire, one prediction apiece. All right, let's get our predictions in. Okay, start off, Chef Beans. We'll start with you.
Keisha will reappear, and she was in a very tumultuous situation that she escaped from.
All right, sounds good. Lauren, how about you?
I think that Emmett and Dominique might flip up and have sex on the next episode.
All right.
Flip up.
Ha ha!
Exactly. Kitty kaboom. What are your thoughts?
I predict that Ronnie will die a horribly violent death.
Oh.
Woo! All righty. My prediction is that Keisha is actually not with her boyfriend and has been abducted. But hopefully we will find her before the end of the season is my hope and prayer. All right, you guys, before we get out of here, tell everybody where they can find you and what do you want to promote? And we'll start with you, Chef Beans.
Y'all can find me on all social media platforms at chef_beans, or just go to chefbeans.com.
All right, and Lauren?
You can find me on Instagram at Lauren the Truth. And today I'm promoting Be Intentional. Shout out to Chef Beam.
Oh, cute. I need two. I need one. Okay. Super cute. Give me one, too. All right, Kitty Kaboom.
Where can they find you? And what do you want to promote?
Find me on IG at Kitty Kaboom, KittieKaboom. And on Twitter at Kitty Meow. Prayerfully, within the next month or two, we're doing a reboot of a show that I used to do on BET forever ago. So keep your eyes and ears open for that drop.
Great. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, you guys. Thank you so much. Thank you guys in the chat for being so engaging and so much fun. We love you guys. And thank you so much for watching us and making us the ESPN of TV Talk. If you're on Spotify or listening to us on iTunes, give us the 5 stars, like, subscribe, all that good stuff after Buzz TV. And I'm your host, Erica Edwards. You can follow me on all of your social media at Erica, E-R-I-K-A, D as in door, Edwards. Ciao for now, folks.
Bye.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.